Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO in Juneau. I'm Yvonne Krimery. A series of storms passing over southeast Alaska continue to bring heavy rain and strong winds to Juneau. Today, the National Weather Service issued a high wind warning for Juneau, effective through the early morning hours tomorrow. The warning says Juneau could see winds from 25 to 35 miles an hour and gusts up to 60 miles an hour throughout this evening. Alaska Electric Light and Power reported several outages out the road in Juneau on Tuesday. One downed tree cut off power to homes near Tier Harbor and Imelga Harbor, and another caused an outage on Stevens Spur Road. The power company says that more outages are likely as winds continue. Damage to boats and other property is also possible as the storms continue. Juneau Docks and Harbors put out a reminder for boat owners to secure their mooring lines and ensure their bailage pumps are working as the rain and wind continue through the evening. The Juneau Assembly has voted to get rid of land use regulations for landslide zones in the city's downtown neighborhoods. The unanimous vote on Monday night repeals hazard maps and land use restrictions that have been in place since the 1980s. As KTOO's Katie Anastas reports, the city's new policy maintains restrictions for avalanche zones while rolling back restrictions in landslide zones.
Juneau Mayor Beth Weldon addressed the room before the vote, thanking the public for their continued participation in a years-long debate about how to address avalanche and landslide danger in the city.
This is not a perfect document in any way, shape, or form. I know you're not thrilled with it. I can tell you right now that I'm not thrilled with it, but this is the best what we could probably come up with.
Development restrictions for avalanche zones will remain about the same as the ones in the previous hazard ordinance from 1987. But there's one major change. Landslide regulations will be eliminated from Juneau City Land Use Code. Many who testified at the meeting, including Juneau condo owner Mary Ellen Duffy, praised that change.
Not adopting the landslide maps and new landslide ordinance could avoid a huge economic impact to many of your fellow Juneauites.
Until now, restrictions were similar for both avalanche zones and landslide zones. That's because the land use code was based on low-resolution hazard maps developed in the 70s, which lumped the two hazards together. But in 2020, the city commissioned new maps, made with more precise science. The avalanche zones didn't change much, but the landslide zones did. The new maps placed some neighborhoods in landslide zones for the first time, or upgraded their hazard designations to severe. That drew backlash from homeowners concerned about their ability to get mortgages or insurance policies in those neighborhoods. So the Assembly adopted the new avalanche maps, but not the landslide ones. Even though the landslide maps won't be used for regulation, the Assembly favored keeping them available on the city website. And they discussed the possibility of a citywide notification system to keep property owners or would-be renters informed about their risk. Assemblymember Christine Wall said the maps represent the best available information about hazards. She said her first home in Juneau was in a landslide zone, but she didn't know it at the time.
And shortly after I moved out of that house, five trees went through the house, and luckily no one was hurt. But I, as a person who lived up there, would have loved to have known that the city has information about how serious it is to live there.
City Attorney Robert Palmer helped to draft the new ordinance. He said, there's no guarantee that financial institutions will disregard landslide hazards just because the city chose not to adopt the maps.
It's almost a chicken and the egg concept as to did the landslide hazard come first or did the maps come first. Even without the maps, the finance industry, the assessing industry, the lending industries could make their own determinations.
So the unadopted maps will remain online, but with a disclaimer saying they should not be used to evaluate landslide risk on specific properties. And the Assembly will continue the debate over how to notify people about avalanche hazards. Just before the vote, member Alicia Huskandes brought up the recent November landslide in Wrangell, which left five people dead and one person missing.
I, of course, like all of you, hope that that doesn't come to pass in Juneau, but as climate change continues and it does get warmer and wetter, that is a real danger. And so I just want us to be clear-eyed as we go into this.
Juneau does have a history of deadly and destructive landslides, including a massive 1936 landslide on South Franklin Street that killed 15 people. And the Assembly says it will continue to discuss what to do to address avalanche and landslide threats beyond maps and land use regulations. In Juneau, I'm Anna Canny.
Millions of people in Mexico honor the feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe, the patron saint of Mexico, each year on December 12th. In Juneau, the growing Hispanic community also gathers to pay homage from thousands of miles away. KTOO's Clarice Larson stopped by a local celebration of the saint on Sunday and has this story.
For Edgar Vera, celebrating Dia de la Virgen de Guadalupe, or the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, reminds him of home.
It just makes me really happy to have a little bit of, you know, Mexican culture here in Juneau. It's because, you know, we're so far away that, it's just really special to have a little taste of what home is like.
On Sunday afternoon, he sat alongside nearly 100 other people in long wooden church pews at St. Paul Catholic Church. The rhythm of live music echoed off the church's high ceilings as the priest led Mass in Spanish. A portrait of the saint stood at the entrance of the church. Vera moved to Juneau from Mexico City with his family 7 years ago. He's now a senior at Juneau Douglas High School Yara Calais and captain of the cross-country team. Each year on December 12th, his family spends their day commemorating Our Lady of Guadalupe, the patron saint of Mexico. Millions of people make the pilgrimage to her dedicated basilica each year. Juneau celebration was held 2 days before the actual feast day so more people could join in. It was organized by the Juneau Hispanic Ministry. Dolores Cervantes is the group's coordinator. She moved to Juneau from Mexico in 1995. She says each year the celebration attracts more and more people.
To me, it's very important because this represents my culture and also brings the community together. And our goal is to have more people involved and more people attending our celebration. No matter if you are white or Hispanic or Native, want them all here.
Cervantes says she's seen a shift in the number of people moving here from Mexico. According to census data, Juneau's Hispanic population has more than doubled in the past 20 years. She says instead of people coming alone to seek jobs, they're bringing their families too. Alex Vargas did just that. He moved to Juneau in 2014 with his wife and 5 children. He serves as the director of music for the church's weekly Spanish Mass. He said moving to Juneau was a big step, but one he's happy he made.
I get used to it so quick. You know, I like the nature. I like the place. I like the weather, you know. And Mexico's so warm. Right here is better for me.
He says having a chance to celebrate his culture with his children is important so that they remember where they come from. He said he's already excited for next year and hopes more people join in on the celebration.
The culture in Mexico and the people from Mexico is growing here in Juneau. And we're glad that more people came to the church and celebrate this important thing for us.
Cervantes says the group plans to host more Hispanic holidays and celebrations in the coming year, like Cinco de Mayo in May. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
5 environmental and tribal organizations have signed their support onto a lawsuit against federal fisheries managers. The suit alleges the National Marine Fisheries Service has violated environmental policies by using outdated data to guide the way it regulates the trawling industry in the Bering Sea and the Aleutian Chain fisheries. This includes the Alaska pollock fishery, responsible for the vast majority of salmon bycatch in the region. Lorelei Ivanoff is the executive director of Native Peoples Action, one of the supporting organizations. She says trawling management decisions are based largely on environmental analyses nearly 2 decades old.
There are so many factors as to why salmon declines are where they're at right now in our rivers. We know it's not just the pollock industry. However, if the analysis and if the environmental impact statement that they use for analysis and for decision making was updated, there would be a more complete picture of what's happening in the ocean to base their decisions on.
The lawsuit was originally brought in April by the Association of Village Council Presidents and the Tanana Chiefs Conference, tribal nonprofit organizations that together represent the vast majority of communities hit hardest by salmon crashes in western Alaska. Earlier this month, 5 Alaska Native and Fisheries Conservation organizations filed what is known as an amicus brief on the same side as the original 2 plaintiffs. It's a way for those with a stake in the outcome of a lawsuit to offer additional information that courts may consider before ruling. Earlier this year, the city of Bethel joined the lawsuit as an intervener, essentially a latecomer plaintiff. On the other side of the suit, the At Sea Processors Association and United Catcher Boats have become interveners in support of the National Marine Fisheries Service and maintains the status quo. Both are trade associations representing the trawling industry. This is KTOO.